Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are, right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
Boy, if you're watching on the video stream right now, you just hang it right in the Louvre. We are celebrating a Wednesday, making picks. It's a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday all around. I know we have Brandon just via audio, but we're going to pretend like he's got his Hawaiian rocking and rolling right with the rest of us. Man, doesn't get any better, boys. We got football. We got basketball. It's feast week. We got NFL games all day tomorrow. We're all going to stuff our faces. This is it. This is the great time of year. And because we're not having a show on Thursday or Friday, we're going to make our picks today. Jad, I know we might as well get this over with. Tommy's been texting the group here for about 4 days. I think we need to put him on the injury report for a busted rotator cuff for patting himself on the back. But can you tell us, Jad, what happened last week?
Oh, well, just in very short terms, Tommy won the week 6-0.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, did a fantastic job on those islands. And, things really worked out for him. Unfortunately, not so good for everybody else. TJ Brandon both broke even. So good news there, but Jacob 2-4, Paul 2-4. Paul, your lead is starting to crumble a bit.
Well, what is my lead? Tell me what do I got right now?
I believe you're only 3 games up.
3?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's your
holy. It's a good thing I built up a nice lead. I'm in a slump, guys. I've tried everything in the book. I'm in a slump. I don't know what to do, but this is the week I have that feeling. It's Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has always been good to me. Just look at me and you can tell.
Look, it's good for everybody. And it's a marathon, not a sprint. We do these things. Tommy, you get to have 6-0 this week, and we don't get to make fun of you for 0-6 for a while.
I appreciate that.
So enjoy that. And you get to lead us off as we hit the music and get into it. You win last week, you go first. The challenge tomorrow, the best game of the day, is Miami headed to chilly Green Bay. Miami's playing well, fellas, and they're back in the playoff hunt. But Tua's got to go play in the cold. Is this the one where you can sort of buck that trend? 3-point dogs up on the road.
Yeah, I mean, look, like Green Bay is a solid team. We've known that all year. They're probably just a step behind the Lions, I would say. And I know the Vikings are there too. But they've been solid all year long. That being said, Miami is resurgent with Tua. I know they're going and playing at Lambeau, but I actually like the Dolphins and the points on the road. So I'm going to take Miami here in this. I think that just knowing the way that they've been able to get that offense rolling the last couple of weeks with Tua healthy again, I like their chances a lot. I'm going to go Miami and take the points.
Yeah, I'll go next here. I just have to see it from Tua one time. Like, you know, I just need to see them go to a cold weather environment and win that kind of game. It feels kind of like a playoff game to me for them. I certainly think they're capable, but I got to see it before I'm going to do it. I'll lay the 3 for Green Bay at home, especially I think it's supposed to be pretty cold up there, and I don't know if there's anything coming with that cold. TJ, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to lay the points with the Packers there as well. You know, they have only lost to the Lions in the last like 2 months, I think, is their only loss. And the Dolphins have looked good the past two games, but the Dolphins have also played two really bad teams. In the cold and everything, I think that the number's way too low. I'm taking the Packers.
Brandon, where are you at with this one?
Oh, well, I do not know where Paul is going on this, but for the sake of giving Tommy an island on a team that's watching the game, I'm going to go back to the cold weather. It's going to be teens with that night game, but I'm going to roll with the Dolphins.
All right, so there's the Dolphins. No islands here, Paul, but you can break the tie.
You know something, weather's always a big deal. Am I a fan of Love? No, he has not won me over yet. I think he has the potential of being a great quarterback in this league. He has not won me over to that point where I can definitely say that is the particular case. Tua always worries me, you know, with head injuries, but it's also very, very cold. It's a team going up. But Miami's playing well. Miami has, if I was to judge the two teams, Miami has overall team speed. You guys know I'm a sucker for speed. I'm going to take Miami.
Yeah, look, it's a good game. I'm excited about the game. I think it's a kind of, I don't want to say prove it game for the Packers, but, you know, they get to hold court at home. All right, Vegas Chiefs, that'll be Black Friday. I think it's my turn to go first. And, guys, I do not know what to do with this game. Now the Chiefs have a kicker injury. I think I'm going to take the points. Like, I don't. Like, they got a kicker injury now? Like, what if they can't kick field goals? Is that a factor? And they got to maybe go for it more often? The Chiefs are going to win this game, but I can't lay 12. I just can't lay 12 with this team. It seems foolish as much as on paper. I feel like they're going to beat them by 3 touchdowns. I got to take the points and just, ugh. Like, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. TJ?
This is the same argument you made when Harrison Butker got injured as well. So I don't know what you have against backup NFL kickers. Like, you think that they are middle schoolers that they just can't kick field goals. It's such a little part of what the Chiefs do, and I'm going to say that, and they're going to lose by a field goal now that I'm saying that out loud. But in the same breath, I'm still with you in this one. You know, the Chiefs are just chronic non-coverers. I think that you just can't pick the Chiefs to cover double digits anymore because they're just going to find a way not to. It felt like the line last week was way too big, and it was a really good line until the final minute there. But I think that they're not going to cover 12. They'll probably win by 10, but they're not covering 12.
I mean, Brandon, I think the easy part of that is the Chiefs should have covered against Carolina at 11 on the road last week until they just didn't. So I guess technically they should be able at home to cover against the Raiders without a quarterback or whatever. Which side of this are you on?
I mean, when you look at it, it's either going to be Aiden O'Connell with an arm injury or it's going to be Desmond Ridder, who has shown no confidence to be an NFL quarterback. I think this is a game where the Chiefs have an ability to get up 17-21. It's them just being able to hold on and not give up a backdoor cover. Give me the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the logical pick, Paul. The Chiefs should win this game by 20 points. Question is, will they? You taking the points? You taking the Chiefs?
Well, listen, psychologically, let's talk a little psychoanalyzing here for just a second, and that is the Chiefs have just come off something that's very rare, a loss. They're not used to that. You know, sometimes that makes a team regroup. It's happened many, many times. regroup, refocus. Guys, what's going on? We should have won that game. And I'm telling you right now that that is big, big, big. The Chiefs' role, and by the way, if I was to say, would you consider Las Vegas to be one of the in the top five worst teams? What would you say, Tommy?
Well, yeah, they've got tons and tons and tons of issues.
Tons of issues. So with that being said, and because Tommy has agreed with me, I'm taking Kansas City, and I'm going to go ahead and give the 12 points. And I don't think, quite frankly, I'm kind of with Brandon. I don't think that's enough points. I'm taking Kansas City.
Yeah, the most curious thing about that pick is Kansas City won the game last week. You know, they didn't lose the game.
Oh, that's right. But they didn't cover.
It did not cover. That's correct. Tommy, are you going to give the points here? What do you like? I don't know if anybody, I don't know if you've been as confused on this one as I have, but I don't know what to do. Like, the Chiefs just aren't beating people the way they're supposed to. I kind of need to see him do it. Where do you want to lay the points? You comfortable with 12?
Well, let's go back to just 1 month ago. The Chiefs played the Raiders in Arrowhead, and the Chiefs beat them by a touchdown. Now, that was Gardner Minshew starting for the Raiders at quarterback. He had a good game. He had two touchdowns, no picks, threw for over 200 yards. The running game did nothing for the Raiders in that game. Alexander Mattison, Trey Tucker, they did nothing at all. The Chiefs shut them down defensively. Aiden O'Connell, I don't know exactly if he's going to be able to be effective coming off of that injury. And even if he was healthy, I'm not sure how effective he would actually be. I understand all of the rationale about the Chiefs not being able to cover numbers, and they only beat them by a touchdown a month ago. This game is in Vegas, blah, 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 blah.
No, other way. They played that first.
They played it in Vegas. In this Vegas. One's at Arrowhead. But yeah. I can't do is I can't pick the Raiders. It just is against everything that I do. So I'm going to take the Chiefs. I'm going to lay those points. I'm not optimistic about it. I think the Chiefs will win the game. I'm not optimistic that they'll cover, though, but I'm still going to take Kansas City, and I'll lay those points.
Caveat for me, if it's Ritter, I'm taking the Chiefs, but we'll see what it is. Like, Ritter's terrible. So we'll see. I mean, there'll be other ways to bet this game, in my opinion, other than trying to mess with that line. All right, the other one, the game of the week in the NFL, Philadelphia-Baltimore. Two of, if not the most high-powered offenses this year. TJ, you're up first on this one. The Ravens are 3-point home favorites. I think both of these teams answered some questions last week. What do you think here?
I think that my exact quote in the group message last week when you sent out the picks is that I said that Philadelphia was my triple hammer of the week, and I'm just going to do it again because Philadelphia is just playing really, really good right now. I know the Ravens just looked really good on Monday Night Football, but I would take the Eagles outright in this game. I'm not going to, but I'm going to take the points.
Okay, Brandon, you agree? We'll get Brandon reconnected here in just a minute. Paul, Eagles, Ravens, you're getting 3 if you take the Eagles. Which way are you leaning?
Well, Baltimore has been one of the toughest teams to read because they've had games where, quite frankly, they just didn't look like a contender for the Super Bowl championship, and particularly with two of the best offensive players in the entire league in Henry and Lamar Jackson. And so they have been up and down, and I think a very, very difficult team to predict. However, Philadelphia has seemed to have gotten their consistency going. They're playing well. They've got great offensive weapons. I'm going to go ahead and take Philadelphia and give the 3 points because I just can't read Baltimore very well.
I know we've got some cell issues with Brandon. I think we got you back, Brandon. Which side of this one are you on? Man, we lost him again. Okay, we'll get Brandon to text in his picks here. No big deal. Look, Paul, you said you took Baltimore, Paul?
No, I took Philadelphia.
Look, I'm gonna ride with the Ravens here at home. I think it's close. The thing for me in this game is Philadelphia's pass defense has gotten much better. That's a little bit of a challenge for the Ravens, but they've got Derrick Henry there, right? Derrick Henry is it gives Baltimore the versatility, I think, in a home game like this. The question for me is, can Baltimore stop Philadelphia? Because Baltimore can't really stop anybody. So I'm gonna take the Ravens because they're at home. I'll lay the 3 points. I cannot wait for this game, quite honestly. I think these are two Super Bowl contenders. Nothing's going to change with the outcome for me thinking that, but I'll take the Ravens at home and take the points. Tommy?
This one's really tough because you guys gave me a Baltimore Island against the Chargers this week, and that made me go 6-0 with that Baltimore Island.
You went 6-0?
I did.
I didn't know.
You know what? I'd be happy to talk about again.
I didn't know that.
I'd like to be, you know, if you're giving me the opening, I'd like to be able to talk about it again if that's okay. So my 6-0, I wasn't going to bring it up, but hey, you know, that's on you, Paul. really, because of how my prowess in picking games, I've really liked Baltimore a lot this entire season. I don't love Philadelphia, although they're incredibly talented. I'm just not sure that in this particular setting, I can go against Philadelphia. It's weird because I took a Baltimore Island last week. I'm going to take the Eagles, though. Give me Philadelphia in this game.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like both teams are getting into the 30s in this one, for sure. All right, let's go to some college football here. KU Baylor is where we'll start. It's the earliest game of the day. This line has swung, interestingly, Paul, as you'll lead us off on this pick. It was KU getting points 2 days ago, and now all of a sudden they're 1.5-point favorites. To me, the only reason that happens is because everybody on the planet is betting against your Baylor Bears, Paul. You're going to have a chance. You're picking first, but I'm going to tell you right now, I think there's a really good shot that you get an island here if you take your Baylor Bears.
I've got a caveat with this particular pick. Here it is. I want KU to win, but I'm not picking against Baylor. But I'm just saying right now, if I miss this one, I'll be happy. Well, I mean, not unless I've just got to make sure KU wins this game. I want KU to win because, man, we're talking about legends in the making. We're talking about stuff that we'll talk about for years and years to come. I want to see him in a bowl game. I want to see him play somebody really good in a bowl game. I think this is a great, great, great football story. This is why we all pay attention to this stuff. I'm going to take Baylor. I want KU to win. Can you believe I'm even saying that? I should have to mail back my diploma. That's probably what they're going to require me to do if
you're rooting
if this gets
against
out.
Your alma mater.
That's right.
That's tough business there, Tommy. I think I'm going to predict that he gets the island. You going to take Baylor?
No, I'm taking Kansas. I'm going to lay the points. I think that the Jayhawks are just on this roll right now, and being able to get all the way to a bowl game after they were 1-5 and then 2-6 is massive. I think that tells you just the total redemption story of this team. So I'm going to take the Jayhawks. I'll lay those points. I think they get bowl eligible in Waco on Saturday.
Look, it's trappy. You got to remember that they were dogs, according to Vegas, to begin. You got to remember it's Baylor's senior day. You got to remember that Baylor's won 5 in a row, and some of those are pretty impressive wins. It's more about Kansas than Baylor to me. And it's more about Kansas finally playing well. And it's kind of simple. I want to make it about this storyline and all these things about bowl games and redemption. But the bottom line for me is Kansas might be the most talented team in the league. It's at least in the conversation. Baylor's not. And Kansas is finally playing well. So I'll take Kansas. TJ?
I mean, KU beat 3 ranked teams in a row. What are they going to do to an unranked team? I'd pick KU against probably Georgia right now, the way that they're playing. So give me the Jayhawks outright. I'll lay the points.
I mean, Brandon, if we've got you here, you've got Baylor, who nobody in the world is talking about, who is 7-4 now in the league. And I looked, I was like, oh, I bet they beat up on a bunch of cupcakes. And there have been a couple, but not all of them. Where are you leaning with this one, Brandon?
Yeah, sorry. Topeka does not want me to have my moment on this show. So in the last game, give me the Eagles. In this game, I don't know if we're going to be talking enough about is this Lance Leipold's last game? It's Lance Leipold rumor season again. North Carolina job just came open. He's going to be rumored there. But I think he gets at least one more game. The Jayhawks are going to go on the road, end a 13-game losing streak against Baylor. And they are they're going to cover this number, and they're going to deliver a third straight bowl berth. Give me the Jayhawks.
That's interesting. We probably do need to speculate on that a little bit. Obviously, he has a lot less coming back this year he has in some of the past. I haven't thought about that. All right, Brandon, while we have your reception, let's let you lead off here. K-State, Iowa State, Farmageddon, the Cyclones, 2.5-point home favorites. Can K-State go on the road and get it done?
This is a disgusting game to have to lead off on. I just don't know how many points there's going to be in this game. I feel like it's going to be a lot of running the ball, a lot of defense. Iowa State's great against the pass, but they're shoddy against the run. And I think that K-State's just going to lean into that. I've had zero luck picking the Cats this year, but, I mean, why go against them at this point? Give me the Cats.
Oh, Tommy. Can K-State go win this game on the road?
Yeah, I think they can. I'm going to take the Wildcats. I mean, just based off of what I saw from them against Cincinnati at home, I know this game is in Ames. But there's a lot of pride, I think, you know, on the line for Kansas State. And I know that there still is a path, albeit a really tough path, to still play for a Big 12 title game. It's still possible. And they have, you know, basically aspirations for a larger and better bowl game. So I'm going to go ahead and take Kansas State. I think that they avenged the loss last year in Farmageddon in Manhattan. I think they get it done in Ames.
Yeah, that weird snow game last year. Look, I think Avery looked healthy, and if Avery's healthy, I like the Cats. So he looked healthy. I'm going to assume he's healthy. Iowa State, I mean, you know, they had the two losses, and now they beat Cincinnati and barely beat Utah. Good for them. I think K-State's a better team, and their quarterback's finally healthy. So I'm going to take the Cats, and I'll especially take the Cats when I'm getting some points with it. Wish it was three, but 2.5's good enough for me. TJ?
I think that what is it whenever you're driving and your car starts to, you know, spin, you're supposed to like drive into it, steer into it. Well, there's absolute chaos happening in the Big 12. So we're going to steer into that. Give me every chaos scenario there can be. If KU wins that one and K-State wins this one, a lot of things get weird. So give me the Cats, because why else would the Big 12 make any sense?
Yeah, we all want that to happen. Paul, finish us off here on this one.
You know something? You guys are going to say I'm taking Iowa State because this is an island. I was going to take Iowa State if I was picking first.
Not
I was
a
gonna,
bad pick.
And here's why. I'm not sure K-State's playing as good as football as they're capable of playing. That's just when I look at them and I think to myself, this could be a better football team. And I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. And I always enjoy trying to figure out what's the problem. But there's something about this team that just isn't allowing them to play up to where they could be. That worries me with a team like Iowa State. They've got their own set of problems. I understand that, but this is going to be a home game. And I think it's supposed to be pretty cold, maybe even snowy in that part. I think it might be. I'm going to go ahead and take Iowa State. And I was going to take Iowa State whether I picked first or last.
I'm surprised we all took K-State, honestly. Like, I'm surprised it even got to that point. If Avery Johnson's, you know, if Avery Johnson is what he was in that last game, then I feel better about it. But if he's not, I sure don't. So we'll just have to see on that one. All right, we finish with the rivalry of rivalries coming back to college football. I'm so glad it's back. I wish they still played it on Friday, but they're going to play it on Saturday instead. The Longhorns, the Aggies. I think we've circled back around to you leading things off here, Tommy. Kyle Field and 5.5 points. No Quinn Ewers, I think, right? Are we official on that it's Arch Manning season? Here we go, Tommy. What do you think in this one?
Did you happen to hear anybody hear Mike Elko? I think it was after they lost to Auburn, or maybe it was before the Auburn game, where he said that all we're doing is paying attention to Texas. And, you know, so clearly they were looking ahead to the Longhorns. I like Mike Elko. I liked him when he was at Duke. I like the hire for A&M. I've said it a couple different times, and I think that he will get A&M to be a national title contender. They're knocking on the doorstep this year, whether or not, I don't think they'll make it into the CFP. They'll be, you know, I think right outside looking in. I think eventually he'll have them competing for a CFP. It's not going to be this year, though. I'm going to take the Longhorns. I'll lay the points. I think that Texas will win on the road, and I think they'll cover.
I'm going to go the other way. The Aggies and their fans have been waiting for this opportunity since they went to the SEC. Like, this is a long time coming. That is going to be an awesome environment. 5.5 points is a lot. I think A&M, they fell victim to looking ahead last week. They're not looking ahead anymore. Now they're ready to play the game. I'm just going to take the points and the home field advantage here at 5.5 points for me. TJ?
Yeah, I think Texas A&M is going to win this game. You know, look at Texas's schedule. You know, they're the number three team in the country because they have, you know, three ranked wins in the SEC. And then you look at the ranked wins, and none of the teams are ranked anymore. Texas' schedule hasn't been very good when you look in retrospect, looking back at it. It really is who have they played that's really going to be worth anything. And it's Georgia, and they lost by, you know, two scores in that game. So I think the ball is finally going to drop in the last week and really start some chaos. Give me the Aggies, especially if I'm, you know, getting points.
Brandon, which side of this are you on?
Well, every time I seem to go with Texas A&M in history, they just come back to bite me. I was on them a couple weeks ago when they were playing against South Carolina. Tied at halftime, they go on to lose that game by 21. And I also think the Yell Leaders are one of the most cringiest things in sports. I hate them. give me the Longhorns big on the road.
Yeah, this isn't a debate on whether the Aggies, and no offense to the Aggies out there, I've got a lot of great friends who are Aggies. They're pretty weird. I used to go down to College Station and party with some friends, and you kind of just you better just get out of the way when they get into their chanting and doing all that crazy stuff that they do. That place is going to be lit, Paul. You know this better than anybody here, how crazy Kyle Field can be. Is it enough to beat Texas when you're getting 5.5 points at home?
Well, Jacob, of all the people on this show at this moment right now, you're the one guy that knows that is one of the toughest places to play a football game in the country, bar none. It's just crazy at Texas A&M. And just for you, you're the only one that's going to know what I'm talking about, Jacob. I'm flashing back to my old Southwest Conference days. That's why I'm flashing back right now. Here I go, flashing back. We all hated Texas A&M. Rice hated Texas A&M. TCU hated Texas A&M. Everybody hated Texas A&M. SMU hated them. Arkansas hated them. Everybody in the Southwest Conference hated Texas A&M. I'm taking Texas just based on pure hatred.
I don't like A&M, guys. I don't. I don't misunderstand. I went to West Texas A&M, affiliated.
No,
only
it wasn't. Not when
back,
you were there.
Back in. When I was there, it was West Texas A&M. It was West Texas State to the Missouri Valley fans that live in this region.
Okay, I didn't know. I thought you were there at the other time. Okay.
Anywho, we got it done. We got through it. That's going to be a fun game. They're all going to be fun games. It's a good week of games here. And let's all make some money. It was a bloodbath a little bit last week. I don't know how Brandon and TJ ended up, but it was not good on the betting front last week. Let's make some money here as we make it through. All right. We'll be back. Brandon, safe travels. We are going to come back and talk a little high school football. We've got some state championship games. We'll get a look ahead at some of those featuring our area teams or teams at least on our side of the bracket. TJ will do that with us when we return on Sports Daily. A lot still to come here as we wrap up a Wednesday and for us wrap up the week. So stick with us. We're coming right back.
KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody, here to Sports Daily. IHOP Hotline opening back up for you. The new Indiana Jones and the Great Circle themed limited time offer menu. All the crazy French toasts they have, including the Great Circle of Cinnamon French Toast. So get in there and check it out. That number is 869-1240. You can leave us your video comments on Facebook, on YouTube, and on X. We keep TJ here Ketchikansas comes to a fever pitch this weekend. It's state championship weekend, high school football. It's center stage. We can start, well, at the top for us is 5A now because Derby fell to Manhattan. So TJ Hayes makes it through. I think it we'd have talked about that at the beginning of season. It might surprise people, but they get Aquinas. What kind of chance does Hayes have in the 5A title game?
Yeah, it's been an awesome story. As you know, the past couple of years, we've seen Hayes pretty much get far enough in 5A to lose to Mays or, you know, lose to Eisenhower or, you know, whoever it is in the Wichita area. And they've had so much good talent. They had Jaron Kanick. They had Dylan Dreiling back when he was still the quarterback at Hayes. Malik Baugh last year. And it felt like this year was they kind of graduated all their stars and nobody knew who this Hayes team was going to be or if they were going to be any good. And they lost four games. And then now looking back, you look at the games that they lost, they played Manhattan and Derby, the closest that anybody played Manhattan Derby in the regular season. And that was the game to get in the 6A state championship game. So looking back, this is probably a really good Hayes team that nobody gave a lot of credit to because of how good Great Bend was as well. For them to be as battle tested as they were, they went on the road every single game of the playoffs, got it done every single week. And now they are heading to Emporia. The gas mileage on the buses are pretty great in Hayes, as we've been saying.
I want to go back to, you mentioned Derby, and they fell last week in sub-state in 6A. It's interesting because, you know, Derby was undefeated. Manhattan, you know, no knock on them. I mean, they won the state championship a couple of years ago, so they're a great program. But Manhattan went to Derby, and Derby never even had the lead in that game. What do you make of all of that and Derby going home before the state championship?
Yeah, it's unreal. I mean, I've been telling a lot of people that Derby team on paper is probably the best team that we're going to see in the Wichita area for a couple of years and probably that we have seen in the past couple of years. I mean, they're going to have 10 or 12 Division I football players on that team. And it's unreal that they lost that game somehow. But, you know, Manhattan, I think that Coach Schartz in Manhattan is an awesome coach whenever you've seen them play. They won that state championship a couple of years. Coach Schartz's kid was the quarterback. And pretty much having another coach as your quarterback at that point. I didn't think this Manhattan team was as good as that Manhattan team was, but, you know, they're still Division I players. You know, Dunnigan, the wide receiver that they have, is, you know, 6'4", got an offer from everybody. Their quarterback's also just super athletic. So Manhattan's a really good team. If it wasn't going to be Derby, it was going to be Manhattan, as it has been the past 5-6 years or whatever it was. So a shocking result, as you said. I'm surprised that Derby wasn't able to get that done, but Manhattan – has as good a shot as anybody to beat Gardner Hutchinson. So,
you know, when I look at that 6A game, I think to myself, because I'm probably the only guy on this show at this moment who has seen a lot of film on Manhattan. I broke down some I believe it was Dodge City and Manhattan film earlier. I think that was the game. I can't really remember, but I've seen Manhattan on film. They're really good. But on film, it's always hard to tell just how good they are until you see them live. But they didn't look as good as Derby. I've seen Derby on film, and I've seen Derby live. Fellas, I'm telling you, when you look at Derby, they look like a college football team. A college football team. That they got size, they got strength, they got muscles on their arms. They look like – so I'm just stunned that Manhattan beat them, because if memory serves right, and I'm not going to say everything about my memory at this point with these games, I see so many films that I can't keep track of them all. But anyway, I just don't remember Manhattan being good enough to beat Derby. That's the stunner for me. Does Manhattan have a chance to get Gardner Edgerton?
Yeah, I mean, Gardner Edgerton's obviously one
they're
of the
good.
Best teams up in the Kansas City as well.
Right.
You know, I think that they've had a really tough schedule. You know, they played the Mill Valleys and they played the other star-studded teams that are up there. So they're going to be a really good team coming in on this side as well. I know they've got some talent going Division I as well. So going to be a really good game. If I had to lean one way or the other, I'd pick Gardner Edgerton, but I also picked Derby and I was wrong there. So who knows?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Jacob.
Yeah. Oh. Jacob, you're muted.
Yep, sorry. We have we have the Metro teams then, you know, in 3A and 4A. Andover Central, I think, probably is would be considered an underdog, TJ, in that game. Not seeing Bishop Meehan, but knowing what they always are. And Andale's probably a fairly hefty favorite. Is that fair?
Yeah, it definitely is. Obviously, Bishop Meehan, one regular season win, and they're in the state championship, and that's how it goes in Class 4A with the way that it is, and Bishop Meehan being a 4A school. So Andover Central is going to have their hands full. They've been to that state championship so many freaking times and can't get the job done. This is a really good Andover Central team, as we've said all year, that, you know, they're a team that made it all the way last year and lost to a team that's in the 5A state championship now. So that tells you what Class 4A is, and now they're playing the team that's usually there, Bishop Meehan. So this is a really good Andover Central team. I like everything that they do. They're so talented and so good at what they do. So they have a punching chance against Bishop Meehan, but with Bishop Meehan and the amount of talent that they always produce and everything, you don't like their odds a ton. But, you know, if a team from Wichita was going to get it done in Class 4A, it was going to be Andover Central. And then Andale, as you said, you know, likely heavy favorites in every game that they played this year, and they've shown it every single game. I think that they played one game that was within 10 points. It was Wellington, which was a 4A school that ended up being really, really good. And then throughout the playoffs, they've dominated everybody. this team is just so good. They're so well coached. They do everything so well, and it's just the Andale team that we're used to seeing. And you know, last year Cheney was such a stinking good football team that they got the job done. You're going to have to be a really, really good team to beat Andale. I don't think anybody's good enough to beat Andale.
Going back to Andover Central for a second, TJ, it's a team that I know they've got the talent this year. I know Bishop Miege has won a bunch of state championships lately, but Andover Central can challenge them, I think. Is this a team, even outside of this year, for Andover Central, can they continue this and become a team that we're talking about, potential 4A state champions in years to come?
Yeah, I mean, they've been there the past couple of years. So just even looking at the trends here, they found a way to be the runner-up, you know, whatever it is, 4 or 5 years now. It's kind of unreal that they're able to just kind of dominate 4A West and just not be able to get past those Kansas City schools. But, you know, this senior class that they have is a really, really good senior class. I will say that. I didn't even know that they were juniors last year. I thought that they were seniors. That's how surprised I was when I showed up to their practice week one. I was like, wow, this is the same team that I just watched in the state championship game. So they're really talented. They have really good wide receivers. Their quarterback's really good. Maddox Archibald, their running back's really good. Dawson Rod on their offensive line is really good. And all those guys are going to go play football somewhere probably. So it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back from this. But Derek Tuttle's a really good coach, and they've always got good athletes there. So I'm sure that they're still going to find ways to kind of dominate around the city. If they can keep it up to the level that they have with this kind of historic class that they've had, it'll be interesting. But, you know, I like them as much as anybody else. So,
well, you know, you've seen so many teams. And by the way, don't you think, Tommy, we could just go ahead and cancel the Andale game? Just go ahead and give them their state championship trophy.
Just hand it to them. So,
I mean, don't you think that would be okay with you, wouldn't it, TJ? Let's just go ahead and hand them that trophy. We might as well. I think it's already said and done. But I'm going to kind of – and you may not have an answer to that. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just curious what you think, because you see so much of these teams, the inside of these teams, the classes that are within a team, senior, juniors, sophomores. You know, you almost know more than anybody else what's coming back. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to tell me, what is the one team that will win a state championship next year that I can keep my eye on?
Man, that's a really good question. That's a lot of real sicko looking into these teams of who's the underclassman.
You're the man for it, though.
Like that.
You're the man.
I'll think about it. It's a tough one. You know, just thinking about returning players and who's
right.
Coming back. You know, Arius Finley from Derby, the running back, he's only a sophomore. I think that he's going to be a, you know, 4-star running back. He's going to be one of the top running back prospects in the country in my eyes. And, you know, you look at East, you know, obviously they've got a lot of guys that are coming back as well. A really good underclassman class there. Great Bend, you know, obviously you still have Ian Premer coming back next year. He's only a junior, and all the guys that they have out there. So if you want me to throw a dart, I'm going to throw one at Great Bend to at least get to the championship game.
Oh, cool.
Don't know if they can get it done or not, but they're going to be really good next year because that senior class is going to be loaded.
Ah.
TJ, I think we would be remiss, by the way, to not jump down to Class 1A real quick and mention Conway Springs. You know, obviously not that far away from the Wichita Metro. They're playing for a state championship in 1A, and Conway Springs historically has been a powerhouse in high school football. There were some lean years recently, but they made it back to the 1A state championship game, and I think this is a team, just knowing the talent they've got, especially offensively, they could absolutely win the state championship.
Yeah, you know, I watched them a decent amount last year, went down and talked to them. They had Braden Coons, who's a running back, who's now at Northwest Missouri State. He won the Catchy Award for best football player, if that means anything to you. So a really good running back. I mean, the dude would put up 300-yard rushing games last year and the year before that, the first couple of years that I watched Conway Springs. And watching that is just like, wow, the running back is really good, and that's what makes them go. He graduated, and they still haven't had anybody kind of close to him, you know, because that's how good their offense is. They run that single wing, and now knowing that's the same offense they've ran back in the 70s. Whenever you have Mitch Holtis referencing your offense whenever he's calling Chiefs games, then you're doing something right.
You're doing something good.
It's awesome what they do. It's so fun to watch them play.
And here I am just thinking about chicken wings, because it's almost Thanksgiving, you know, whatever. turkey wings? Did we say turkey wings? TJ, what do we have with coverage coming up? Because it's a little different than usual when we get to state championships.
Yeah, they changed the rules of how these games are going to get held, and they're going to make everything a lot better, I think. You know, obviously, the way it used to be is that everybody played pretty much at the exact same time in 8 different locations, and if you wanted to pick one, you had to pick one of what you were going to watch. So this year, they're moving it down. They've got 3 games in Emporia, 6-5-4. They've got 3 in Hutch of 3-2-1. They've got 3 in Kiowa County of 8-man-1, 8-man-2, and 6-man. We've got some good 6-man. We had some 6-man coverage on the Catch of Kansas show as well. Love 6-man football. I know you do. You're from Texas. So it's going to be a lot of fun with all of that. I know that we've got one local team playing Friday night, southeast of Saline, which we're going to talk to today on 12 News as well. They play 6 o'clock Friday night. The rest of the teams are going to play on Saturday. We're going to have coverage of every single local team. We've got a Catch It Kansas show Friday night where we're going to kind of preview what's to come on Saturday as well as those southeast of Saline highlights, and then we're going to have one on Saturday as well. So a lot of coverage. If you have, you know, more thoughts about what we're going to talk about on Saturday for these games, you know, we're going to have a 30-minute show breaking down pretty much every single game, so it should be a lot of fun.
It's always fun. CatchItKansas.com is the place to be. 12 News is the place to get it all. TJ, we appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving. I'll see you a little bit later here on the TV set.
Absolutely. I'm going to go take off my Hawaiian shirt, put on the 12 News shirt, and go to work.
I'm going to assume that is your fiance there on it.
Yep. Holding the ring. That's the bachelor party.
Are those pineapples on that shirt?
Yeah, no, be careful.
No pineapples.
So I have that a similar set of swimming trunks with my wife.
With my fiance's face on it?
No, but my wife. But I'll let you guys. I'll let you guys guess where I placed her face on the swimming trunks.
Hey, this is a family show.
Oh my god!
Use your imagination. You know, jokes, you got to take them when you can get them. You always have to take advantage. She didn't know I had them. I surprised her at a big pool party with them. It's great. Everyone thought it was funny except her.
I'm sure it was a big pool party, if you know what I mean.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, Tommy. Tommy. That's right.
All right. Well, before we get a call from the FCC, we're going to take
it. Okay.
And on the way out, I'll tell you about Crestview Country Club. We appreciate their support of the program. So we got the big Thanksgiving things coming. They just put out their January calendar. I'm looking at this, Tommy. There's a casino night. There is a symphony member mixer, a prime rib night, a wine tasting. They got it all covered for you. Give them a call. There's all kinds of memberships. You can participate in some of this stuff, even if you don't do the golf or anything like that. So we appreciate their support. Tell them we sent you. We're going to come back. We're going to have our last full segment of the week, if you can believe it, on Sports Daily. Don't go anywhere. Stick around.
.975 and 1240.
Forget you got the Chiefs Kingdom show coming up tonight at 6 o'clock, so we'll have that for you. Let's talk a little college hoops here as it pertains to Wichita State, fellas. They play tomorrow, 11 a.m. Against Minnesota. Here's the interesting thing about what they've got coming in this event. We know it'll be Minnesota and then either Florida or Wake Forest. I wonder, Tommy, did you realize, like, Wichita State's ahead in the KenPom right now of both Minnesota and Wake Forest. So I'll be curious to see what the lines for these games are. But look, when you hear that, I think you can look at this. And Florida's, you know, regarded very, very highly so far. But, at least in the Minnesota game, they've got some winnable games here and some games I think that could really, really help them. Both Minnesota and Wake Forest are top, 100 KenPom teams right now. But this is a critical part of the season for Wichita State.
It is. And if they end up facing Florida, that's a game that you could absolutely look back on come Selection Sunday as a really, really crucial game for Wichita State. I mean, Florida is a top 20 KenPom team right now. As you mentioned, they're really highly regarded. I think going into the game tomorrow, at least, they've got an opportunity against a Minnesota team that they're okay. I mean, they're 90th in the KenPom right now. They're 5-1, so they're off to a good start, at least in non-con play. I don't know if we know much about them this early on, but I think for Minnesota, from their perspective, they need a win against a Wichita State type opponent that's above them currently in the KenPom for a quality victory. So it's going to be a fun matchup either way.
Paul, these opportunities for Wichita State, and look, we saw Memphis beat UConn, and maybe the American will get itself into a situation where you can get a lot of high-quality games in the non-con. But right now, we look at these sort of games as the ones you need to build a resume upon. Is it too early in the season to add that kind of urgency, do you think, from this coaching staff to your players and let them know, like, these games now will matter later?
No, and it's a great point. Minnesota, just, you know, an average so-so team. I mean, I get that. They're 90th in the KenPom. We get that. They're not world beaters. But you know what they are, guys? I'll tell you what they are. They're a Power 5 conference teams. Psychologically, you've got to get wins against these teams. If you're going to have success in a tournament, you're going to have success in the AAC, then you have got to make sure that you can beat teams like Minnesota or any team that they line up in front of you who is from a Power 5 conference. You got to do it. There is something about these kind of teams that Wichita State, those kids live for these kind of games. I want to play a Big Ten team. I want to play an SEC team. I want to play a Big 12 team. You know, that's what they live for. So have success, get the job done, get the win, and show that you can play with any Power 5 conference. Granted, they're not going to be Big Ten champions, but I can tell you right now, you want that win against a Power 5 conference.
There are right now inside the top 100 of the KenPom, just for reference sake, four American Athletic Conference teams in there. So these are the kinds of games where if you're looking for quad ones and quad twos, who knows? Like, you just can't, you know, there's a lot of urgency.
Right.
I should say, in a lot of these games, there's not a lot of urgency and not a lot of implications. They're still great games. There are implications in this game for Wichita
State.
Quality
non-con wins. When you get to March, especially in an American conference where, you know, Memphis looks like, you know, they're going to be, I think, probably a quality team. There might be a couple of others in the American. You've got to get your non-con, and you've got to do well in that.
Right.
And if it's going to be a two-bid league, you need the league needs games like this.
Yeah,
like
that's
Memphis,
right.
Beating UConn. Like, those are helpful to the entire league. So we'll watch it. You'll hear it. We'll tell you how you can hear it, where you can hear it, and everything else coming in a busy programming week next on Sports Daily.